Exodus 16, verse 22 to 31. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So this is the second category of the supply of manna. And the manna on the sixth day is supplied for 2 days, so that the people of Israel would have the surplus for the second day, for the seventh day, the day after the sixth day, and they don't have to go and gather manna. Okay, and the seventh day manna will not get spoiled, because that day manna is for the Sabbath. Now, what is the revelation of Sabbath? The understanding and the revelation of Sabbath is rest. What is the meaning of resting in the Lord? Now, the primary reason why God created Adam was for what? To do ministry? No. He did not create Adam for ministry, to do ministry. He did not create Adam to do agricultural work. Or he did not create Adam to eat and enjoy. The primary reason, when we go to Genesis and when we learn from the order of creation, we will get the revelation, why was Adam created? What is the primary reason Adam was created by God? Man was created by God. The primary reason why man was created by God is to have fellowship and intimacy with man. That is why God created Adam. Okay? Which day God created Adam? Which day of creation God created Adam? It is the sixth day God created man. The sixth day. And what was the seventh day? The seventh day he rested. Now, from the order of creation, what I realize is, all the first 5 days, God created the animals, the trees, and whatever he created. What were those things? Those were the provisions for Adam. So before God created Adam, he created the provisions for Adam, what Adam needed. And then after he created Adam, he did not create the provision. He created the rest day. That means God, the Bible says God ceased from his works. Why? Because after he created man, he wanted to now have fellowship with man. So that is the plan of God for you and me. And that is the revelation. Before even we were created in our mother's womb, all that we need and the way we have to walk and live this life, God had already planned it. And then after we come into existence, what is the plan of God for you? That you need to fellowship. Rest with God means have fellowship and intimacy with God. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Amen. That is what God wants us. That is the priority of God, to fellowship with a man. Okay. Let's come to Genesis chapter number 2. Let's go to Genesis. Okay, let's start from Genesis chapter number 1. Let me show you. Genesis chapter number 1. Let's start from verse number 23. Okay. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. The fifth day ended, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our own in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed and is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruits yield seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning was the sixth day. So at last, on the sixth day, at the end of it, God created man and said, everything, the cattle, the tree, the fish, everything is for you. You can eat, the seed is for you. You can eat. That means there was no work for Adam. Adam was not occupied with anything. Adam was not a farmer. Adam was not a shepherd. Adam did anything, any work. Okay? The only work, the only thing Adam was created for was God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and had conversations with them, fellowship with them, intimacy with them. Stay with me. Okay, and then let's see the seventh day. Thus, Genesis 2, verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Stop there. So there was no agriculture, there was no tilling of the ground. God placed a system in the earth that would automatically water the earth and bring the crops and bring the fruit and bring the food and the vegetables and whatever. That is what the Bible says. Okay? It was when Adam and Eve fell into sin. That is the time the curse came on Adam, that the ground will not yield produce to you. You have to sweat and work on the ground. So what happened? What does sin does? Sin takes the rest away from a person. Okay? What does sin does? Sin puts a man into occupancy with the world. It makes a man occupied with the world, especially with work. I'm not saying don't work, but that is what the fall of man did. It made us occupied in the world. We have to earn a living. We have to work. And I was in the corporate. I saw people. I did not do it, but the people in my office worked for 2 days continuously. They will bring a toothpaste and a brush to the office. They will work for 13 hours. Okay? And all the night. And when morning comes, they will feel tired. They will take their brush and their toothpaste, brush their teeth, wash their face, sit again to work. Saturday, Sunday, they will work. Every day they will work. You see, you know, there is those who work in the corporate. I have been in the corporate before for 7 continuous years. before I came into the ministry, without any breaks, I was working. So those who know, those who work, that they know how it functions. They know how they work. They know that, you know, China, that you cannot even get up from that seat, from your seat there. You are monitored by the boss, you know, and you have to work for more than 9 hours. And so much so, and even because that is the result of sin, that a man, even if he wants to see God, he is so occupied that he cannot do it. There is work, then there is wife, then there is children, then there is husband, there is future investment, there is installments, EMIs, so many things in a man's life, so many things in a person's life, that they are so occupied into it that they cannot rest in the Lord. They cannot rest in the Lord. So many things. This is coming, that is coming, that needs to happen. I need to go there, I need to do this, I need to do that. No fellowship with the Lord. That is a result of sin. Do we see that? But before Adam fell into sin, Adam and Eve fell into sin, there was no work whatsoever. The only work they had was working with God, because the earth will, but the result of sin was a curse, that till the time we will sweat. But when we come into Jesus Christ, we have to realize the real meaning of Sabbath, the real meaning of rest is to fellowship with the Lord. Are we understanding? And listen to me, that is why God gives 2 days supply of manna, and the manna that is stored for rest will not get spoiled. Do you know which is the manna that will not get spoiled? Which is the manna which is still with us, which never gets spoiled? The Bible. The Bible is the manna that never gets spoiled. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. Okay, even if people don't say amen or whatever, I will continue to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Mother is saying amen. All right. The Bible is the manna which will never get spoiled. And then when you meditate on this stored manna, what you will get? You will get rest, Sabbath. That is what God said to the people of Israel, that 2 days you will, 2 days you will, okay, 6 day you will gather manna, 7 day you will not gather anything, okay? So that manna will not get spoiled, and that manna you use for Sabbath. You use for rest. So whenever you understand, you understand meditating on the Bible, whenever you meditate on the Bible, whenever I meditate on the Bible, it will give me rest. Because this is the stored manna. This is the stored manna which will not get spoiled. Are we understanding? But what did we see in Exodus? What did we see in Exodus? The people of Israel were told, don't go and gather manna on the 7th day. Here, every day, first, second, third, fourth day, they are asked to gather manna every day. They want to gather manna for tomorrow. They want to do the opposite thing, and that manna gets spoiled. Now God is saying to them, listen, listen, people. On the 6th day, gather 2 times. You gather 7 day. Don't go out to gather. It's good for them. They need to rest in the Lord. But the Bible says, still some people went on the 7th day to gather manna. And God was angry with them. What is the meaning of it? What is the meaning of it? The meaning of it is people overwork for the world and even some for the ministry. People who do ministry, they don't understand that every day and every season of their life, they should not come to God to gather manna, to gather revelation. They should keep secret place aside, secret place, rest place aside. What is that? You are not coming to God for your ministry. You are not coming to God for asking God, give me the revelation so that I can teach the congregation. No, you are not coming to gather manna. You understand that? There is stored manna. That is the Bible. So you come to God with your Bible. And you don't ask for revelation, but what you ask, Lord, I want to fellowship with you. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to know your heart. Lord, I want to ask you, Lord, how, Lord, can I be usable for you, for your purposes? Can you reveal your purposes to me? Fellowshipping with God, talking, building intimacy with him, not gathering manna, not for the purpose of ministry. And because many ministers don't practice rest, that's why they are frustrated. They are many times angry. They are many times not in a state, in a position to be joyful, because they are not practicing the rest of the Lord. Do you understanding? Practicing is the rest of the Lord is not going to gather manna outside, but to rest on the Lord and meditate on the stored manna. What is the stored manna? The Bible. Hallelujah. Everyone say the Bible is the stored manna. Come on, those people. Yes.
The Bible is the stored manna.
Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible is the stored manna. And sometimes you just have to be with your Bible in the presence of the Lord. You should not go, people overwork for the world and some for ministry, but they don't know just to rest in the Lord and meditate on the stored manna that the Lord does not allow to get spoiled. But they are busy on gathering manna, laboring even when the Lord wants them to rest. Yes, laboring even when the Lord wants to. Oh, I am going from place to place, I'm preaching the gospel, I'm going there, I'm going to this nation, going, and you are not finding rest in the Lord. God, see, the priority of the Lord is not want to make you do ministry. No, that is not the priority of the Lord. The Lord wants you more than he wants your works. The Lord wants you more than he wants your efforts. The Lord wants you more than he wants your money. The Lord wants you. He wants you to be in his presence. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. And when you realize that, and when you go to the Lord, not to gather manna, not to do ministry, not to intercede, Lord, this is the list of people. Oh, Lord, these people are not coming. These people are sick. These people are fighting with me in the congregation. This, Lord, this increase the ministry. No. That is not resting in the Lord. The going with no agenda. That is the secret place. And going with the Bible, with the stored manna, and asking the Lord to speak to you. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's start from verse number 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Okay, this is all about rest now, Hebrews chapter number 4. Let me read again. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any one of you seem to have come short of it. Come short of what? Entering his rest. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Yes, it is talking about the people of Israel who were stiff-necked and who always wanted to go back to Egypt, who always wanted. They did not want to enter the rest of the Lord. They were far away from the rest of the Lord. That is the reason God introduced a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was not a tradition. This day, the Sabbath day was a effort by God to make the people of Israel realize what really rest is. Because you know the tradition of the Sabbath day, no work, nothing. So what to do? Sleep at home? No. Be in the presence of the Lord. But they made a tradition out of it. They did not understood Sabbath. They made a tradition of the Sabbath day, and they also persecuted the Lord Jesus for the Sabbath. Because the Bible says when the disciples and Jesus went to the field, they ate the grains. And the Jewish, it's Sabbath, why are they eating? And Jesus did not rebuke the disciples, he rebuked the Pharisees. He said, I am the Lord of Sabbath. You know that, right? All those things in the Bible. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And they said, why are you healing people? Jesus said, whatever I see my Father do, I do. My Father is always in the work of delivering people, so I also must do. So Jesus, see, when you are in the Spirit, understand that there is no importance given by the Spirit of God to certain days. It should be a lifestyle instead of being in a tradition of certain days. All right? Hallelujah. Now, many of people may be thinking, why I'm not talking about Christmas and putting a Christmas. We are not going to do a Christmas service, but I will release a sermon this week. I have already released through the other ministry, but I will release on our personal channel about Christmas. And then you remember I spoke about Easter in the beginning of the year when there was Easter, and how all those festivals were not created by Jesus or not created by the kingdom of God. It was created by the kingdom of the enemy. Any which ways, I don't want to go into that. But yes, I would not hurt the feelings of people, or if they want to celebrate, they can celebrate. But there are certain things you need to consider while celebrating, because Christmas is about paganism. All the things that happens in Christmas and they do in Christmas is about paganism. So consider certain things. And if you want to actually celebrate, don't celebrate only on 25th December. Celebrate the birth, the death, the resurrection of Christ every day. Let it be your lifestyle. Okay? Hallelujah. Any which ways. But the consideration of certain things on certain days is not the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus, because Jesus always said, this is you, because they did not understood the revelation of Sabbath. All the days they God introduced Sabbath day, but for them to understand, we will see that in this scripture now. God wanted them to enter his rest, but because they always rebelled, God said, they will not enter my rest. That was Sabbath. Okay, verse number 3. We are on Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 3. For we who believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in the way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. That is what we see in Genesis, okay? Verse number 5, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Underline that word, very important. That is the definition of Sabbath. What is the definition of Sabbath? He who rest. Entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God ceased from his works. What works? Gathering manna, doing ministry. That means doing ministry, doing any other work. Everything cease from it, and fellowship with the Lord. That is Sabbath. Hallelujah. Do we now understand what is Sabbath? Hallelujah. You know, a whole, out of conviction, a whole society is made. Do you know the Seventh-day Adventist people? They are very good people, you know, but they are convicted to follow Saturday as the Sabbath. But technically, they are still wrong, because Sabbath is not on a Saturday. Sabbath comes on the seventh day as per the Jewish calendar. So you have to consider the Jewish calendar, because the weeks in the English, whatever calendar we use, I think, which is, I don't know, forgive me if I am wrong. It is based on the Roman stuff, January, February, whatever, the calendar that the world uses, the common calendar that we follow, the whole world follow, is different from the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar has days and weeks placed in a different set. And it's not like Sabbath only comes on a Saturday on the Jewish calendar. It can come on the second day, it can come on the sixth, It because it calculates six plus one. So our calendar Saturday is not actually a Sabbath. But God does not place a yoke for us to consider the day and that day go to church. No. Do you understand that? God wants us to understand the revelation of Sabbath, and Sabbath is to cease from all our works and eat the stored manna. Hallelujah. Sabbath is to cease from all our works and to eat the stored manna. Are we together? So that is what God is talking about. Then verse number 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Hallelujah. Entering the rest of the Lord is completely coming to the Lord. Lord, how are you? Lord, I want to know you. It's just intimacy. That is rest. When a man and a woman come together in marriage, and they get married, it's the tradition all over the world that after the marriage, where they go to honeymoon. What is that honeymoon? Go away from all work, all relatives, and spend time together with each other, so that they can know each other. No work, no nothing, just to make love with each other. Just to be intimate with each other, just to know each other. That is the start of their marriage, so that their married life can have a good start by knowing each other. That is what God wants to do. He wants us to go with him on a honeymoon. No one there, to a faraway place. No work, no office calls, no ministry, nothing. Just to be with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So do we see?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we see that second category of Sabbath is for Sabbath. Supply of manna for Sabbath. Now, when you read your Bible, there was a Sabbath also for the land, but the people of Israel did not follow that Sabbath. So God punished them. Made the land desolate. So I don't want to go into those scriptures. Okay. The Sabbath of the land was not followed. So there was a famine in the land because they violated the Sabbath. They did not let the land rest. Okay. Now that is a spiritual significance of my announcement that I am doing from the past few weeks. That is the significance of the announcement that I am doing from past few weeks. The Sabbath, the famine that is going to come. The famine, Amos chapter number 8. Okay, let's go there. Amos chapter number 8. Verse number 11 and 12. Amos chapter number 8. Verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Says the Lord God, then that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. The word of the Lord will not be there. You know why? Because people are not resting in the Lord. Do we understand that now, the significance? Because people are spiritually not resting in the Lord, not giving their lives rest. So God is saying, there will be a famine of the word, of the everyday supply of the word of God to people. And when the supply is cut off, there will be famine. And then people will say, I want the word. You know what? They will not get it. Because you thought your money will save you. From so many years, God was calling you, God was warning you, but no, I am busy with my money, I am busy with my investment, I am busy with my work, I am busy with all the things of the world. You thought your money will save you, you thought the company in which you work will save you, you thought your family members will save you, and you never depended on the Lord, you never rested on the Lord. So God is saying to the people, the supply of my word is going to be cut off, and when the supply will be cut off, you will see, you will have loads of money, and you never gave to God. You never You never gave time to God because of earning, because earning, because of the reason that you wanted to earn that money, keep that money. All those money will go in the drain. All those property will go into the drain. All those relations that you depended on will go to the drain. And then you will say, oh, I want the word of the Lord. But God will say the time is over.
Amen.
It is cut off.
Thank you, Lord.
Your grace period has expired. It is cut off. Do you understand that?
Hallelujah.
It is cut off. You were busy. I was calling you busy. Now you know, since all these things betrayed you, could not save you. You are coming to me. But that is what Jeremiah spoke. That is what Ezekiel spoke. Now you will, even after that, if you cry unto me, I will not hear your voice, says the Lord. The famine of the word. But the famine is for these kind of people, these kind of believers, these kind of Christians. But there will be rest for those who have the stored manna. They will enjoy Sabbath in the famine. Hallelujah. Those who have the stored manna, hallelujah. What does the stored manna do? It gives you Sabbath. It is about Sabbath. It gives you rest. So those, when the world was enjoying earning money, they did not compare, oh, I have less money, they have more, I have less ministry, they have more big ministry. They did not compare, but they were, what they were doing, they were resting, they were gathering manna, they were abiding with the categories of the supply of manna. So when the famine comes in the world and disturbs them and leaves them malnutrition, leaves them hungry, these people who have the stored manna will enjoy the rest. The people who have the stored manna will enjoy the rest of the Lord. So the famine in the world will not be the famine for the faithful believers. You decide which one you want to be. Hallelujah. People have stopped opening their Bibles because preachers are not opening their Bible anymore. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes a little bit I will say that because I don't see you, but I pray that you open your Bible and sit there. You need to understand the seriousness of the stored manna. You need to understand this word is precious. Even if there is nothing with you and you have nothing, but if you have the word of God, if you have Jesus with you, you will make it through. You will have in abundance if you have the word with you. Hallelujah. So, like Goshen, when there was all the plagues striking Egypt, there was peace in Goshen. There was nothing happening in Goshen. There was peace in Goshen. That is how it will be. The famine will be in the world, those who did not have the stored manna. But it will be rest for those, a rest, a Sabbath for those who will have stored manna. Hallelujah. The famine will be a reason for those people to rise. The famine will be a reason for Josephs to open their storehouse. Hallelujah. Don't be discouraged. Even as I speak to you, the word I am speaking to myself, encouraging myself also. Okay? Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. If no one is listening, nothing is happening, but continue, because there is a day that will come that the value of what you have and what you carry and what you are gathering will find expression during the time of a famine. Will find expression, and people will realize, people will cry for that thing that you have, but they don't have. Hallelujah. The manna. Hallelujah. So do we understand the second category of the supply of manna? All right. The second category of the supply of manna is manna, the supply of manna for rest, for Sabbath. The third category of supply for that, let's go to Exodus chapter number 16, 32 to 36. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 32 to 36. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it. Okay? And lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years. Underline 40 years. Until they came to an inhabited land, they ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Okay. There are two things in the scripture that I read. Now the third category of the supply of manna is manna to habituate and equip us for the conquering and subduing of territories. Manna to equip us and habituate us for the conquering and subduing of territories. Before, do we understand that? God wants you and me to conquer territories for Christ. God wants you and me to bring the kingdom of God into territories. God wants you and me to bring the kingdom of God into the nations of the world. That is what he wants. But before that, what he will do is, he will habituate, that means align us to the supply of manna. He will make sure, that's why 40 years, Israel ate manna in the wilderness. 40 years. Why for so long? Because God was trying to habituate them that this will be your supply system. And once you are habituated, that means it's in you. You will not leave that everyday supply of manna. You will not leave that rest, seeking the Lord for the rest. God will place you into places where he will give you the power, the anointing, the dominion to conquer territories for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Okay, there are two things in the scriptures. The first thing is, what did Moses say to Aaron? He said to Aaron that take some manna, put it in a pot. And take that pot of manna and place it where? In the most holy place. Okay? That signifies that God wants to retain the teaching of the pattern of the supply of manna to the coming generations of believers. Because if something is placed in the Holy of Holies, it is supposed to be taught. It is a doctrine of the word of God, the supply of manna. Do we understand that? That is the meaning of it. So when you go into the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, you will find certain things and everything as a revelation there. Let me show you that. In Hebrews, okay, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 1. Then indeed even the first covenant and ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna. Okay? Aaron's rod that budded and the tablets of the covenant. So what is there in the holiest of holy? There is the golden censer. What is the use of the golden censer? The golden censer is where incense in the book of Revelation is mixed with the prayers of the saints. All right, incense is mixed with the what? Prayers of the saints. What kind of prayers? Those prayers that are uttered from believers who can enter the most holy place, the secret place, the place of rest. Okay, those are the prayers. Those believers. Now, I have told you many times that there can be, your prayers are differentiated from the positions from where you are praying. Some people pray from outside the outer courts. They are not at all in the presence of God. They have not even entered into the outer courts. Some people pray from the outer courts. They have entered the presence of the Lord, but they are not into the tabernacle. They are in the outer court. Some people pray from the holy place. And some people get close to God and then they pray. And their prayers have an impact on the nations of the earth, because the book of Revelation says angels take the prayers in the most holy place, and the incense is mixed with it, and it is thrown on the face of the earth, and it brings earthquakes, thunders, and whatsoever, brings a shaking in the realms of the spirit. Any which ways, that is the golden censer. Then what is that? The Aaron's rod that budded, the rod of Aaron, that is with which they strike the river, became to blood, and all those things. It signifies the authority against witchcraft. The authority, the power against witchcraft, against the devil, against the demons, is found in the most holy place. And then the tablets of the covenant, which is the covenant with Israel, the law of Moses. And then there is one thing that is related to us, that is manna, that is the word, that is Jesus, that is manna, that is found in the most holy place. You see, so manna, the supply of manna, has the teaching has to be retained. It's a component of the most holy place. When you access there, you understand the revelations of manna, the everyday supply of manna, manna leading to rest, all these things. That is why the manna is placed in a pot in the most holy place. It's an access, it's a retaining of the teaching of manna. What? Who is the real manna? Jesus is the real manna. He is the real bread of life. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the word of God. Hallelujah. He's the word of God. So that is what is what God wants us to do. He wants to habituate us and equip us to this supply system of manna, that we may realize the everyday supply, we may realize the rest, the Sabbath of the Lord, and that we will habituate, practice that for many years, that God will place us. And the second thing it says, the second thing in that verse, Exodus chapter number 16, let's go there. What does it says there? It says that keep that manna for what? For the generations to see and to learn it, how their ancestors received manna in the wilderness. So it's for the practice. It's for the practice of the supply of manna. And the Bible says for 40 years, the supply of manna was there until they came to the border of Canaan. So 40 years, you know, psychologically and spiritually, like 40 days, Moses was there with God. 40 days, Jesus fasted. 40 years, people, it's 40 years, it's like, and 40 days, that number is like a number of days or number of years where a person is aligned with a new habit, with a new spiritual habit. So the habit of seeking the Lord every day for manna and to enter his rest is been habituated into the people of Israel. So the people of Israel will go about subduing territories and conquering territories after they are done with that. Hallelujah. That is what the supply of manna is for. That's why God wants to train us into the supply of manna. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to a New Testament word. What does manna mean to us? Manna means to us the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the New Testament, the revelation, the meaning of manna in the New Testament is what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 17 to 20. Now listen to me. Verse number 17 to 20. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When I was praying, God told me that is manna in the New Testament. What is it? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of it. You are reading the Bible. But are you tapping into the wisdom of God through the scriptures when you meditate on it? Is there revelation coming to your life? Revelation coming to you? That is manna, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I came to that scripture to show you what manna does to us. So Apostle Paul is praying for the church of Ephesians. And he's praying to the Father. Father, let the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ come upon them. To do what? There are three things. First, the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of His calling. Okay? Now, there are three things. First is enlightenment of the eye of understanding so that they can see what is the calling, what is the hope of their calling. That is the first thing. Then second is, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? That is the second thing. That they may know what? What are the riches of His glory of His inheritance in the saints? And the third is, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. So there are three things. Now, why was Israel given manna? For what season? In the wilderness. For what? So that they can see the promised land and enter it. So the first point for Israel was having a hope for entering the promised land, which in the New Testament is the hope of our calling. Okay? Are we understanding? The hope of Israel to enter the promised land, and here the hope of our calling. We can see our calling. We can know what we are called to do. Israel was called to enter the promised land, and we are having that manna, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, to see. When you abide by the supply system of manna, that is the first thing that will happen to you. You will know God's assignment for your life. You will know God's calling for your life. You will see it and you will start walking in it. Hallelujah. Everyone say, I need, Lord, I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Everyone say that, Lord, I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Lord, I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen. That is what will happen when you abide by the supply system of manna. What you will see is your calling. What you will realize is your calling. For Israel, God was giving them manna so that the hope of their entering the promised land will be retained. But because they were despising manna, they also rejected the promised land. You understand that? Second is what? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Now, I don't want to... you know what? I don't want to go there. I have already gone there. There is like when your father passes away, your grandfather passes away, you know, they leave an inheritance for you, right? And then there are family fights, conflicts. In most of the cases now, there is witchcraft to acquire that property, to acquire that ancestral thing, that inheritance. That is that inheritance. When you know that there is an inheritance that Jesus Christ has kept for you, you will not fight for that earthly inheritance. Because I don't have time to show you from the scriptures. I've already taken those revelations. The inheritance that He has for the saints is not comparable to any inheritance that you can receive on earth. Even if someone would write and give you the whole land of America, the inheritance that Jesus Christ has kept for you is bigger than the whole land of America or Canada. I'm telling you, that is big. How big? Because it will be a shared inheritance. From where? Because what is going to happen is, when the mystery of God will be completed in the book of Revelation, when the mystery of God will be completed in the book of Revelation, all kingdoms, all authority, all inheritance, everything, all power, all authority, all dominions will be restored back to Christ. Everything will become to Christ. All the kingdoms will become of Christ. You see the kingdom of India, the kingdom of America, the authority that the prime ministers carry, all of those things will come to the feet of Christ. Everything will be lost by the people and it will come to Christ. That is the inheritance then God, Jesus Christ, will divide among his saints. Do you understand that? Now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you realize the inheritance that you are going to get by the Lord Jesus Christ, you will forget about your earthly inheritance, I'm telling you. Because it's, hallelujah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So that is, when you abide by the supply system of manna, that is the second thing that will happen to you. You will lose your interest in the earthly riches. And you will start, because you have started to look at the heavenly riches. That is what Jesus said. Gather for yourself riches in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy it, where thieves cannot break in and steal. And you will understand what you will get in heaven. And you will forget, $2 billion, nothing compared to what my Jesus is going to give me. What I'm going to receive from the Lord Jesus. You will walk on the streets of gold. There will be no sorrow. There will be no nothing. That will be your life. So you will have an entrance when you abide by the supply system of manna into the on-site, into the perspective of the heavenly riches you are going to receive. For Israel, it was settling down in promised land. And for us, it is the inheritance. Do we see that from the scripture? The first was for Israel, it was the hope of entering the promised land. And for us, it was the hope of our calling, what we are called to do. Second, it was settling down in the promised land, land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. And for us, in the New Testament, it is the inheritance in the New Jerusalem city. It is the inheritance that we will get there. Okay? The spirit of wisdom and revelation is manna. The third thing, what is there? The third thing is the most important. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The third thing that will happen to us, it will grip us with the truth of eternal life. That the same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise us to eternal life. We will not all die, but we will be changed and transformed from corruption to incorruption, from mortality to immortality. And we will go with him, the power that can resurrect us. Hallelujah. That is the third thing that will happen. And that thing for is God was trying to tell that to Israel, but they were stubborn. Okay, they were stubborn, but for us, when we abide by the supply system of manna, these are the three things that we will get. If we are not walking in the revelation of these three aspects of the hope of our calling, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding mighty great power that raised Christ from the dead, if we are not walking in these three aspects, we are not abiding by the supply system of manna. We are not hearing God. If we hear God every day, we will walk in these three revelations. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we shout amen, people of God? Let's pray.
Okay. Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we want amen. To give you the praise. Father, we want to give you the honor. Thank you for this time. Hallelujah. Be lifted high. Be magnified. Be glorified, Lord, for this time. Thank you for Lord, your word, Lord, we want to abide by the supply of manna, Lord, every day, Lord, and the manna for rest, leading us into rest, Father. And Lord, that we may, our eyes would be open to see the hope of our calling, to know the riches of your glory, of the inheritance in the saints, Father, and to know your exceedingly great and mighty power with which you raised Christ from the dead and seated him on the right hand, at the right hand of yourself, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Open the eyes of every believer, Lord, by this word, I pray, and deliver them, Lord, and lead them into your rest to seek you as never before. Thank you once again. I cover each and every one of us with the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, even those who are not there, cover all of them with the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We will meet again next week. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Sister K would help us with the Yeah, lead us into the time of giving unto the Lord and do the announcement. God bless you.
It's covered quickly.